slow down just a little bit. I just want to focus on three verses of scripture. Is that all right? First John, if you've been with us, you know that he's been pretty direct. He's been pretty direct so far. He likes to say things. He's been drawing some very clear lines. He's been saying things like, if we have fellowship with God while we walk, still in the darkness. And so those are strong words. And John means them. John is drawing, amen. And so there are ideas that sound spiritual but lead people away from Jesus. And there are versions of Christianity that, you know, keep the language of faith but slowly drain it of truth. And so John isn't the real thing. But something very important happens in the middle of chapter 2. John pauses and the command, the language, it stops. It's a reminder. Now, there's a story about General George S. Patton during World War II. Now, Patton was a complicated man. Captured more territory than any army that had moved in that amount of time in its entirety. That I'm not going to quote it here this morning. He has some colorful language. He had a colorful vocabulary. Do, here's how you need to fight. Here's where you need to go. Here's the strategy. Instead, and when you listen to it carefully, you realize some of them wonder if they're going to make it at home, you know, back home. And so, and second, what he's doing is he's calling them forward to in the three verses that we're going to read today. He's giving us these beautiful statements about what is already true. He reminds them of who they already are. If we're honest, you know, reading the early parts of 1 John can be a little unsettling. Life, I want to walk in the light and I want to love people that way and I want to obey God that way. But then you look at, it can start to discourage us. And some of you know what it feels like. You read about holiness and then you think about weakness. I really don't measure up. You know, maybe everyone else has this figured out and I don't. And John Pilgrim's Progress, he illustrated this beautifully. In the story, the main character, Christian, the more he becomes aware of his own sin. And the burden grows heavier. And eventually, when we see the holiness of God without remembering the grace of God, that burden becomes crushing. The gospel of grace that Quincy preaches, like a good pastor, and he says, before you sink into that discouragement, let me remind you of a few things. Verse 12. I want you to take note of the three audiences that he's speaking to. He says, I am writing to you who? Little children. Because you're who? Young men. Because you have overcome the evil one. And I've written to you who? Young men. Because you are strong and the word of God remains in you. At first glance, it might sound like John is only speaking to the men in the church, but that's not what he's doing, first of all. So let me. And so in other words, when he says children, he's talking about people who are new in their faith, okay? When he says young men, he's speaking to all believers and he's describing the different seasons of faith that we all experience as we grow, okay? He calls you to grow. He reminds you of who you already are, okay? And this is what he says. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven, completed in the past with an ongoing effects into the present. So in other words, your sins have been forgiven and they remain forgiven. This is, let's slow down because John is saying something that is possible. Not that forgiveness is available if you perform well enough. Not that forgiveness might come some, it's based on the finished work of Jesus. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't simply miss all of our wrongdoings, having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile towards us. The cross was not a partial payment, right? It was not a down payment. It was not the beginning of forgiveness. It is finished. Not it has begun, not the rest is up to you. Finished work of the Son of God. And that's why John can look believers in the eye and say, little children, your sins are I'm anything, before you do anything, Jesus declares, it is done. It's finished. And that means something. That means something. Because a lot of people, what they do is they live their lives dragging around guilt like a backpack full of just take back, I wish I hadn't said that. And they spend their lives trying to make it up, trying to compensate, trying to prove that. And because he did, your sins are forgiven. Brutal life of doing that. He captures them, sells them into slavery, but everything changes the day that he kills his own brother in a jealous rage. So he decides to do penance. He does his own penance. He says, I'm gonna carry this weight. And so he straps waterfall. And a priest is following him and he's saying, you know, you don't have to do this. They're living. He was walking up the mountain towards them. He was wanting to pay the penance and he was willing. I gotta mute it for the last. We were watching the clip. We were kind of coming to the understanding this morning that our audio wasn't working and the clip so beautifully. But you know, they cut the rope, holding the burden to his back. Right, Carrie is gone, and then maybe my favorite part, something incredible happens. I don't know if you can see it. The tribe begins to laugh, and here's the tragedy: some Christians are still dragging burdens that Jesus already threw into the river. You keep on replaying the past and you keep on because of Jesus. And so the truth that we need to hear this meaning, not because of who we are, it's for his name's sake, but because of who. So salvation is not only forgiveness, it's restored relationship. Will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Actually harder to believe because many people can imagine God tolerating them. But it's harder to imagine a God that, we were singing it this morning, that was a song that God was singing over us, I love you. I'm a little abandoned dog named Wilma. And when we first brought her home, you could tell, and she hid under tables. She acted like we were gonna hurt her. And time, something changed. After some time with us, you start to notice something different. And you know, we didn't hit her. Of course, the hand that from under the table and under the couch or wherever she would hide, and she began this little thing that would was everywhere. Why? Because she trusted our care, right? Yeah, so knowing the Father, she wasn't living like that anymore. She was living like she. Okay. So then John turns to the fathers, those that have been grounded in the faith. And this is what he says. I write to you fathers because you know everything is new and everything is fresh. But over time, a lot of times what happens is, you know, life is before time began. And so the one who created the world and the one, because you know the Father, you're gonna live differently. And then John finally turns minion or the rule of the enemy. Amen. We sang that this morning too. It's like we worshiped out our whole message this morning. Greater is he who is in the world, right? Than he who is in the world. Our victory over sin comes from the, so it's volleyball, but it's played inside like a racquetball court. And so I'm a pretty tall guy and I was pretty fast and limber court. It was like, you know, it was like in the movie where it's like every step thunders, you know, as he walks in. He walked into the court and, you know, he didn't even need to jump, right? Because, not because of us, but because of John. And John would walk onto the court and victory, not based on our strength, but on Jesus' power. He's the authority and he is the victory for it, right? Martin Luther used to say that when the devil accused him. And that's what John wants these believers to remember. He says, you're forgiven. You know the Father. The strength of a believer comes from the word of God living inside of them. Truth reshaping your thinking. Truth reshaping your desires. Truth reshaping your... He says, you won't make it. You say, well, I know the one who's been there from the beginning of time. Right? A woman had come up to him in a service. I love the story. He said she was probably in her 70s. Stepped off to the side of the sanctuary and right, to be carrying something. You think about 40 years back from where you are right now. 40 years is a long time. And decisions that hurt people, decisions that she wished she could undo. And for years, as we were somewhere deep down, she was kind of always wondering, but did that forgiveness really apply to me? And so one night, decades earlier, she'd sat down at her kitchen table and she wrote this letter. And she believed it. Then she folded the letter and that day, she said, I followed Jesus today when you were preaching about forgiveness. It felt like. And she read it one more time and she looked up and she said, if Jesus really paid for this, then I don't need to carry this anymore. And walking through just a different scenario, but they were driving in the car and this person just took the book and carrying, it's into this place, not because you finally got your life together, but because Jesus paid for it, right? Breathtaking. Not that forgiveness might be possible. Not that forgiveness could happen someday, but that in Jesus you fight. He just comforts them with who they already are. One. And be burdened, and not paying some kind of penance. That's the real thing. Father God, thank you for your word. 3 lines of scripture, just reminding. And when we know that you are Father and we know that you are good, we can live in the safety of your covering. We don't have to live today. The challenge is help us live like it. Help us live like it. You know, the enemy, I just want to say it again. The enemy does not have, and if the enemy is trying to do something or there's a difficult situation, you never leave us or forsake us. God, so again, my prayer this morning is until maybe we have a few more bodies in the house because I don't want to, our missional offering this month is gonna be for Quincy. Didn't Quincy do just an amazing job? If you were, let's just bow our heads one more time and I wanna give you an opportunity. If you're in the house and you just want a God that came to rescue us, he's a God that came to lift us up. He's a God, a resurrecting God. You just raise your hand this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. We want to pray with you this morning, not to embarrass you, but just to I give you my life. All that I am is yours. Knowing all the truth that I've heard today, I want to walk in power.